Thank you guys for being here for another episode, number 188. Today we recap the Super Bowl, the GOAT, Tom Brady, of course, Tristan Wirfs, and Anthony Nelson, the Hawkeyes with new Super Bowl rings. I'm so happy for them. We talk about the Iowa basketball team. We talk about two coaches leaving the Iowa staff and how that affects the football team coming up this year. A whole bunch of stuff. Sit back, relax, let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 188 of the podcast. And as you guys know, I deleted my social media a few months ago for the better. So I do not have a real feel for how people are responding to our podcast as of late. But I hope you guys really enjoyed the last two episodes that we did because it's, in my opinion, not very often that something that you go to for your own enjoyment or for your own education, you know, some people come to this podcast for a little bit of information, but it's not often you can have something in a 45-minute span bring you both to tears laughing and to tears through emotion. And I think that we really put together two powerful podcasts for people to listen to who maybe have been going through some things like we all are, you know, and life's a fight and you just can't give up the fight. And I don't know, that's my introduction was a review on the past and hoping you guys enjoyed that. So let's go to the future.
Welcome in episode 188. Thank you guys for being here. So crazy that Drake brings that up, dude, because I was literally going to start the podcast with that. Other than the few topics we have to talk about here quickly, this is going to probably be a shorter one. The Hawks basketball team is trying to put their foot in the sand and kind of stop this slide. Four of the last five games, I believe. I don't intently watch the basketball team, but I follow, I basically get the entire feed of what happens.
We'll definitely talk about it because I have been watching the games intently, but continue.
Yeah. And, but I see basically the entire play-by-play of the game through Twitter. So, you know, some unexpected things happening there, but I was going to start with, seriously, brainwave must be on the exact same, frequency because as you said, Drake, you don't have Twitter. I have gotten more, and not just on Twitter. I've gotten a couple on Instagram, a couple on Facebook, because we post everywhere, and I have gotten more feedback and response on the Walk-Ons account and my own personal account from the last two episodes than we have in a long time. We got a decent amount from the James Morris episode. And we tend to get more in the off season when people share their thoughts on guests that we have or questions that we should bring on, questions we should ask those people. But the last two have been outstanding. Many, and I think it's something to say that with your episode, Drake, that was planned. I obviously wanted to get into the mental side of things. Bishop was not, we didn't try and do like this little two episode mini series on mental health. It just turned into that. That's just where it went.
And it was pretty cool, man. I was moved by the thing. Those 45 minutes made me think much longer than what the podcast was, the end of the podcast.
Yeah. And so many people, and I think people felt the authenticity of it. You know, I did purposely want to bring up, because Brandon's story is that of a guy who, he wasn't a Josie Jewell. He wasn't the guy who the reporters flock to on media day in camp each year. He did not see a single rep on the field, although I think he would have probably gotten a few if he stayed for his final year, because the Iowa coaches are just good guys like that. but he ran a full race, graduated with a degree, and was one of those guys that is the glue behind the scenes. And
listen, man, football ends, but the degree doesn't. So yeah, that is really the most important part for the majority of college football players.
So many people have reached out about mental health, and I guess it's weird for us to, I guess you and Drake, you and I, and even Kevin, when we ran that episode previously, when we talked about mental health, I would say, you know, the three of us are good at, we're pretty confident in ourselves, not to the point where we don't have a problem getting on this podcast, and sometimes to a negative effect, we said some things we probably shouldn't have.
Absolutely.
But we're not scared to talk about stuff. Not that being scared to talk about mental health is a bad thing, because it is very tough, but because we do it so openly, I think that's why it hit. Kevin, you weren't a part of either of the last two episodes, but Kevin joins us now. If you're watching on the YouTube, I think Santa showed up with presents at his house a month and a half late or something.
Something like that, yeah.
We were talking about the response, Kev, that the last two episodes have gotten. And I don't know if you listened to the last two.
I got a chance to listen to Drake's. I did not get a chance to listen to Bishy's yet.
So
what'd you think, Kev?
I mean, it sounded about right. No, yeah. I mean, you guys did a good job. I think, you know, kind of addressing, like, you know, going back to like what we did, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago,
a little over a year ago.
How long we've been doing this goddamn podcast?
October of 18.
Mental health and like purpose after football and stuff. And, you know, if you don't have a purpose, then in life, something to do when you wake up every day, I don't know how you get yourself through the day. You know, Drake,
it's almost impossible, bro. Let me tell you, for as a guy who for a little bit of time, for way too long a time for my preference, went with absolutely no purpose in life at all, it is the worst thing you can possibly do.
Yeah. No, right. And obviously everyone's situation is different. None of us have like families or kids to provide for or anything, but like, you know, you said it's like, hey, I'm just trying to be the best friend, best son, best godfather I could possibly be every day. You know, and that's sometimes all it takes, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And I think you'll really enjoy Bishop's episode, Kev. There was some funny stuff, but it went, you know, it got pretty serious talking about how he approached his role as a role player. I actually listened to Gino, I don't know how to say his last name, Oriema, the UConn women's basketball coach. They've got some stud freshmen on their team right now, but one of the reporters asked him about the role players on his team, and his response was really, really good. And he talked about how if you're a role player, you have to go be a superstar in your role, because if you're not, then you still have a potential in that role. And if you're not living up to that potential, doing the best you can, then the team suffers because of it. And so, you know, there's different levels to a team, especially a Division I college football team with 22 sure. plus starters.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has their role. I mean, you can argue that, you know, Drake is a starting fullback. That's your role. Your role is to smash your head in the linebackers. Kluver, you threw the ball between your legs. That was your role. Me, I played special teams. That was my role.
I mean, and that's what hit with Brandon is literally this podcast. We could just call it the role players. We could just rename.
Know your role. I mean, and you know, I was upset I didn't get to be on Brandon's podcast, but dude was like the hardest working scout team player the entire time I was there. He made us better during the week. Mm-hmm. He got us prepared for games. And you know, was he ever going to see this field as a 5'8 receiver who wasn't all that fast? No, I mean, but the dude worked hard every day. And mm-hmm. that is just an admirable thing to do, to just take a beating for 4.5 years just to make other guys better so that we could win on Saturdays.
Yep. And so just to all of you listening, thank you for the response. And if you want to reach out, don't be shy, reach out. I respond to everybody. And it's awesome to think that what we talk about on this podcast, going back to what Drake said, a lot of times it's more for entertainment, But when it hits home, that's when it becomes super surreal for us. And I mean, I've literally had a couple people say, hey, you like Drake, hearing Drake talk about his shit and Brandon, like that got me through a bad day or like stuff like that. And
hell yeah,
that
rock on.
Yeah. That kind of stuff gets it. That is it's kind of mind blowing every time that happens. So thank you guys.
You guys listening got your work in today. Got to get your mind in the right place. There's no better way to do it.
Absolutely. And so thank you guys. That's what I wanted to start tonight with. Like I said, maybe a shorter one here. We got a couple topics. Let's first touch on the Super Bowl that happened. As you guys know, Kevin Ward said that Tom Brady and Gronk are trash. And
I don't think that's what I said.
That was verbatim what he said, basically.
Verbatim. That's bullshit.
He said something along the lines of they aren't what they used to be. And maybe they aren't, but what they are now is still sufficient because they have another Super Bowl ring.
Hey, so it's funny that you bring up trash because Tom Brady at this very moment
is trashed
as fuck, dude. He had to be like caressed out of the parade.
Mm-hmm. Did y'all see him toss the
LeBron? Oh my God.
To another.
What are they doing, dude?
How big of a flex is it that he brought his own multi-million dollar yacht to the parade?
Well, of course I'm going to do that too if I'm him, but imagine if he like throws it, he misthrows it or gets dropped
and it sinks
to the bottom of the ocean and he's never getting found.
Dude, for the next 2 weeks there's divers down in that bay trying to find that thing. Like, unbelievable. Crazy that they win another Super Bowl. And I listened to some sports talk this week and it brings up the question, you know, there's all these things. And obviously we want to get to the most important part of this whole thing, which was Tristan Wirfs being the highest graded player in the game,
bro.
But,
and how about his season stats, dude?
Insane. But real quickly on the Tom Brady thing, he's the GOAT. He's the best quarterback that's ever done it.
He's on the way to best sportsman of all time now that he's done it with two teams. And if you look at his years 20s, years 30s, and years 40s, I mean, that's three Hall of Fame careers, dude. Right. It's unbelievable.
And which is what I was getting to was it was always about Belichick Brady. You know, it was the tandem. It was because those two were together was the argument of like, you just can't stop these guys. And is someone breaking in, Kev?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, cool. And so now, dude, he goes.
How insane would that be if Kevin just got held up at gunpoint on
live
stage,
on
bro?
The podcast, dude.
Oh my God.
Hey, you know, I keep that thing on me though.
I keep that thing on me. So now Brady starts to make this argument, especially after the Patriots were just dog shit this year, which you wouldn't expect him to have been good, but is it really just Brady who's special? I mean, he's able to literally bring guys. He's a magnet of talent.
Listen, dude, Tom Brady had 6 Super Bowls. He's 43 years old.
Yeah.
And he was up multiple touchdowns running down Tyrann Mathieu to talk shit to him in the Super Bowl. Like Tom Brady is the X factor, dude. There's something about him and his internal drive. He is like the Khabib of football because they're both, it is something upstairs that makes them greater than anybody else.
And I think it is that, you know, off the field, maybe that X factor, that competitive edge. I would argue he was never the most talented quarterback.
Nope.
In his time, you know,
Pat Mahomes has 10 times the natural,
like, yes,
1.5 times
talented right now. I would say in Tom Brady's earlier years, Peyton Manning had more talent. I would say
absolutely years, Tom Brady would say the same thing, talents,
you know. But you hear these stories about just how KF loves telling the story. He, whenever he was on the field, he was doing everything with a purpose. And you know, you hear stories about guys coming into the locker room, like James Morris was there for like a day and he goes up to him and say, hi, I'm Tom. He's like, yeah, I fucking know him. But like little stuff like that. And when you see your leader of your program, leader of your franchise, doing a little stuff like that, being a competitive guy. I remember KF sharing the quote of after he was asked, like, he won his 6 Super Bowls. Like, which one was your favorite? He's like, my next one. Guy's always just trying to win.
Legend.
That's what makes him great.
I think that Tom Brady is the slight edge, dude. He is the slight edge to the max. And I know that this is really cheesy and super, no one gives a shit, but Matt Fraser, the CrossFit best on earth, 5-time champion, the last 5 years, no one's even touched him. He is if anyone's into like fitness, he is also like, he is the Tom Brady of fitness essentially. And he's been on a lot of podcasts recently because he just retired. And he talked about how he was so focused. I mean, he didn't have a life. It's this thing where when you dedicate everything in your being, every minute of your waking day to being the greatest and maxing your potential, you get situations like LeBron James, Tom Brady, Matt Frazier in CrossFit, even though no one gives a shit about it.
All right, bro. Frazier or Froning, though?
Frazier whoops his ass.
Prime?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Because to the point where Frazier in an interview, you know, you do a lot with barbells and having to hold things in CrossFit and the fitness competitions. He would stop using really sharp steak knives like 2 weeks out from competition because he was worried like, hey, if that really slight chance that something happens, if I'm cutting a steak or I'm like cutting some onions for dinner or something like that, and I slip and like cut my finger, I'm not going to be able to train and it's going to slice open during competition when I'm trying to clean 315 or something like that. And he was that dedicated to the shit.
Oh, you just use the goddamn steak knife, right?
Or how about you go to the store and get one of those choppers?
That, I'm just saying, that's what he would talk about. That's the kind of level. And so it's crazy to see. I remember that quote, Kevin, when he said that Tom Brady never threw a ball without purpose. And once the day that KF said that to us or told us that story, the rest of my time at Iowa, even when we went out and just opened up the bag of balls and started throwing, every single throw, probably not every throw, but 95% of my throws from that point on, even when we were warming up, I had a target in mind, like a small target on the body. And it helped with snapping a lot because you're basically just trying to hit a target. Crazy shit. Unbelievable. And he's not done. He's coming back. He said, did you see Bruce Arians on the, he was up on stage. Like he had a beer in his hand. He's like, I don't want to hear any of that run it back shit. That's the Chiefs shit. We're going for two. That's our shit. We're not done. Like, and Bruce
going Arians, for two.
Yeah. Like unbelievable. So be interesting to see where that goes, but Brady's the GOAT. Tristan Wirfs, my guy. Our guy, not really my guy at all, but he did live in our house.
Very much my guy. Very, very much.
I mean, I do. He wouldn't consider me his guy, so we're not guys. But I mean, he just goes out, and there's been so many tweets of like guys who actually break down football saying like, I mean, I saw even a couple that were like, Tom Brady doesn't win a Super Bowl if Tristan Wirfs isn't part of the team. There was a
dude. How crazy is that? The Arizona Cardinals are beating the shit out of themselves.
And dude, the Giants.
They took Isaiah Simmons at number 8. He underperformed. He's going to be a good player, but he underperformed. And Tristan Wirfs was definitely Pro Bowl quality as a rookie.
Unbelievable.
Like, eat my nuts, Arizona.
Dude, you could make the argument. I mean, an offensive lineman is never going to win this award, but he was the most effective rookie this year. So he's never going to win rookie of the year because offensive lineman never going to freaking defensive lineman is never going to win. You basically got to be a quarterback, running back, or receiver.
Yep.
He was the best rookie from this past draft class.
You know, Herbert won the award and Justin Jefferson was incredible in Minnesota. But if there wasn't a bias towards skill positions, Tristan runs away with that thing.
One sack.
Unbelievable. And yeah,
he's every single dude. Offensive snap, which I thought was the most incredible stat.
Did you see some of the guys he played against?
Shut him down.
Played against some of the who's who of the NFL.
Oh, yeah. He got everybody's best guy.
I mean, He got tossed by Khalil Mack one time. Otherwise, he was damn near perfect.
And that was after the play. Everyone likes to bring that up.
Yeah, Twitter. It was like, bullshit.
After the play, who gives a shit?
Drake and I talked about it when we, at some point when, on an episode that we did, and we talked about his potential. And I said, by the time he signs his next contract, he'll be a top five lineman in the NFL. That may have been like a little bit out there at that point. I stand by that. He's
got the tools, the athleticism, to be the highest paid offensive lineman in the league when he signs his second contract.
Yep.
You just got to stay healthy. Stay healthy and keep working. He's a rookie, he will. So, I mean, he's got room to improve too.
That's what I'm saying. He's 22.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah, he's probably not even close to his ceiling. You know, he's got all the physical tools, but he can still develop on the mental side of things, getting in the film, working, and still, you know, seeing like stunts, blitz packages better and stuff like that. He can still improve, which is a scary part.
Now imagine what's going to happen when he hits his physical maturity with NFL money for nutrition.
Unbelievable. He's the kind of guy. He's same kind of guy where he has the natural ability. I mean, absolute unit coming out of high school. 1% of the 1% of the 1% kind of athlete out of high school who then goes to Iowa, where he gets developed better than he's probably going to get developed anywhere else in that amount of time. And now he's got the resources at a young age. He's healthy. He already has tasted success, knows what it's like to get there. Is going to be just yearning for that year in, year out. He's the kind of guy who, if all things go right, because in the NFL, you get hurt or something weird happens. He's the kind of guy who, like other linemen, they go to a team to play on the same line as Tristan. And like he is, that's the kind of guy. It's just nuts to see. And we also don't want to forget Antoine, our guy Antoine. Waukee has a Super Bowl, baby. We out here. Let's go. I don't claim any of it. Antoine's a beast. He had significant reps in the game. Good to see him playing and balling out. And it's wild, man. It's just wild to go see those teams win. Tough for Ben and Hitch, but they did get theirs last year, as we talked about.
Ben was triggered.
You can't be selfish.
Yeah.
I talked to Ben. He was triggered.
I'm sure. I mean, the only thing I can think of that hurts worse than losing a Big Ten championship is losing a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that sucks, but there you go.
It's got to hurt a little bit less when you won it the year before.
Right. Maybe, you did win
a little bit less.
It's going to hurt a little bit less when he signed the contract too.
Yeah, true. Money, if we would have got paid after that Big Ten championship game, like a quick, 30 or 40 K hit the bank account, it would have been like, okay.
For player performance checks for college.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Contracts, man. Our boys are up this year. We need to see who signs who. Where,
I know.
How much.
I'm excited. It should be a great offseason. We're going to get to talk about it with all of them.
And then we need to start talking about investments in a Bet and Savage's business.
Seriously.
Let's run one to the moon.
To the moon. The moon is where everything's going, led by Elon. Back to Iowa football news real quickly, because the basketball game is starting here soon. Today announced that Tim Polasek, offensive line coach for the past 4 years, and Derek Foster, running back coach, who came in the same time as Polasek, I'm pretty sure.
No, Polasek was there before, because Polasek was there for our senior year.
One was there for a year before. So they've both been there. They're the two most short-term coaches on the staff, I believe. They are leaving. Polasek took the offensive coordinator / quarterback position coach job for the Wyoming Cowboys.
He's coaching quarterbacks
and coordinating the offense. And Derek Foster is going to be leaving to go out to Los Angeles to be in the NFL. Incredible. Dude was at he was at Samford 3 years ago. And now he got hired by KF. balled out there, did great. You know, the Hawks did good the last 3 years, and now he's going to be an NFL coach. Like, that's sick.
So what are the odds that Wyoming – so just think about it. When we played Wyoming in 2017, they were throwing the ball all over the yard. What are the chances they throw the ball 20 times with Polisek coming from North Dakota State and then the offensive line coach at Iowa?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have to look at the rest of the coaching staff, what their style is. They probably don't just throw it 20 times a game, but they also don't have Josh Allen anymore. And he was pretty good, and he's gotten better. So who knows? Polisek's a good dude, though. I was never really close with him. I talked to him a few times, even though he was there for our senior year, like just didn't talk to him a whole lot. Good guy. Intense as hell. Like, is just dude has energy like the Energizer Bunny.
I'll never forget it, dude. When we were in skills and drills, I had just had, well, I had had my first leg surgery, and then I had just had my shoulder surgery, and I was on the bike waiting to get another ankle surgery. And Polisek's like, you know, when are you gonna get back on the field? He's like, can't help us in the tub. And I just like, that's how I remember Polisek, because he didn't mean anything by it, but no. Like, he was being serious. He was like, you know, that he's a football guy.
He's a football guy to the dude, to the DNA. And yeah, just loves football. And Foster, I didn't have a whole lot of experience with him either. None of us really did, probably. But he was a good dude. Always KF, always had good things to say about him. And now he gets a shot in the NFL. And that's kind of the way coaching revolves, right? It's a revolving door. You go find the next opportunity. What's the biggest thing in a coaching change moving forward? What's the most important thing? We just, as far as finding new guys for those spots, like, how does that affect this team?
You got to find somebody that gels well with your players.
Yeah.
You know, because we found out how much it hurts when a position room doesn't respect their coach.
Yeah.
Yep. And someone fits in with the culture as well.
Yeah.
It's into what KF's trying to preach.
Yeah. It's, you know, We dealt with a couple coaching changes while we were there, and it never felt like, especially in the off season, because you're not working with the actual position coaches a ton. You are in spring ball and then a little bit in the summer. It's not so much, again, it's not so much about the guy and what he brings. I don't know how to say it. It like Kevin said, it's about the culture. It's about, can this guy adapt to Iowa, and then what certain small things can he bring to add a little twist and connect with the players, and like Drake said, gain that respect. Now, after 20 years of doing this, KF usually finds pretty good guys, you know. So
I thought he found a really good guy in Polisek. Like, if we're being honest, it took Polisek a little bit of time to learn how to coach the offensive line, because mm-hmm. that's not what he did. And he was learning a whole new, it was basically like you were taking somebody from English to French.
Yeah.
And he was learning a whole new language and a whole new position system, but he was just an Iowa guy.
Yeah. I think it's very similar to a player who's trying to fight his way into a role on a team. You know, is that coach a kind of guy who's willing to put his head down, work, be open to listening to the players and listening to his peers on the staff and learn the system just like a player would when he steps in? And it's all about just finding that gel. And just, I don't think, for those of you listening, you know, most likely whoever they find, they're going to match well, they're going to know their shit, and the Hawks won't skip a beat. Like, that's what it is.
I will say this, though. I don't envy the current coaches on the staff, though, because they all have to interview them as a whole.
Yeah.
And I heard from a source that this is like a 10-hour ordeal where it's just the guy interviewing and the staff, and they're going through a bunch of stuff on the whiteboard and stuff. Yep. And I heard it's horrible.
It's a rigorous process because, yeah. I mean, you're
trying for everyone to involved.
Yeah. You're looking at a D1 spot to fill, and bet your ass there's going to be
so much money on the line for these decisions.
So much. So they do that. They take that shit seriously. Finally tonight, and we'll probably be watching a little bit after we get off here, Iowa men's basketball, the highly touted team that came into this year.
They hit the midseason slide, bro.
They hit a little slide. Lost four of their last five. And they play
close. They just haven't been finishing.
Yep.
They've been finishing very poorly.
CJ Frederick has been hurt, which has affected the team. And, you know, the chemistry and who's out on the court and who, you know, that all kind of matters. That mesh kind of makes a difference here and there. And they haven't been finishing. And they play Rutgers tonight in a ranked matchup, number 25 Rutgers versus number 15 Iowa. What has been going on? Well, like what do we need to do, Drake? You said you've been watching. What's happening here?
Defense.
So,
other than the one side of the court.
Listen, sometimes we are outmatched on defense, and it's just gonna be what it is when we're a guard heavy lineup with, no offense, a little bit of an immobile center. Great player, just a little bit immobile.
Yeah.
That's gonna happen on defense. On offense, I don't think we run the offense well enough through Luka, because Luka is one of our smartest players. And if you run the offense through him, that gets the ball down low. If the defense is going to swarm to Luka wherever he's playing ball, somebody's going to be wide open. Our team is made for perimeter shooting and Luka on the inside. So I don't know why we're not trying to just play like paint heavy offense and give it back if they're not, or if they're starting to crash.
Any thoughts, Kev? Have you seen any of the recent games?
I haven't. Let's see. Last one I watched was the Illinois game, and I haven't been able to watch since that. I mean, Drake might be right. You know, if Luka's one-on-one, let him work. If not, dish it out to the open guy in the three. I mean,
he makes good decisions with the ball.
Hot as we have been early in the year.
I think a thing that a lot of Hawkeye fans have like noticed on Twitter, or noticed about the games on Twitter, or at least social media that I've seen, is like, why are all these teams having their best shooting night against the Hawks?
It's always been like that. It has literally always been like that.
And some of it's luck, but a lot of times
there's usually a reason behind it.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're playing good defense, oftentimes that makes the offense work a little harder. Guys are a little bit more tired. Shooting in general becomes just, you know, percentages a little bit.
I mean, it's also hard to hit contested jump shots too.
Yeah, you got a hand in your face, hard to knock down threes. So, you know, they're shooting better against us because we play a little worse defense. And I'm definitely no basketball guru. I wish we had Brady Ross on here, because he loves to talk about how he used to be just the best sixth grade AAU player in the goddamn world. But it seems that the Iowa team doesn't have, like we said, like they're in games. It's not like we're getting crushed out there. Like
playing some pretty damn good teams.
Right. The Big Ten is the
toughest conference in basketball.
It's a buzzsaw, but you got to have a couple guys who step up and decide that it's time to, that they're shutting this down. Like, this is our game. You got to have someone who takes it over. And like Drake said, maybe that's Garza and it's not happening enough.
And it's not even that he's not taking over, because he's playing very well and he's being very efficient, but I don't think he's getting enough touches low. Like, there are times where we go stretches on the floor where Luka is using his energy running up and down the court and doesn't touch the ball. They just pass the ball around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Luka's fighting for position, going back and forth across the lane. We put up a shot, miss. They get the rebound. Luka runs back to the floor, has to play defense, runs back, fighting for position, doesn't see the ball, and we're running a super inefficient offense. Like, I feel like I sound like an old school basketball guy saying, like, get the ball to the paint. But when you're when the best player in the country is on your team and you're based around finding open shooters on the perimeter, how does that not, how does that guy not see the ball in 75, 80, 90% of the possessions?
I agree. When you have shooters and a team knows it, everybody knows that Iowa can shoot, and we're not, you know, we don't have any, we don't have a Suggs guy like Gonzaga does, who, if he has the ball in his hands, he's liable to slash to the rim and drive by anybody. We don't have that guy on our team. When you, so we have all these shooters. The only way to get those guys open is to get the defense to sink. And when you don't give it to your big guys, you don't work the ball. A lot of passing. Iowa should pass more than anybody. Ball movement is so freaking important. And it should just, it's just not happening at the level it needs to. You know, a lot of people are mad at Fran and this and that, and it they just have to play better and decide they want to win the game. Like, we got to have a little killer instinct. And so the game has just tipped off, I'm sure, as we finish up the recording on this, and they're playing Rutgers. And
Hawks minus 6.5, what y'all got?
Oh, God. I mean, the way
Hawks been, minus 6.5?
Yeah.
They took him to the wire at Rutgers. The way they've been playing,
I'd take the points.
I a team that's lost four of their last five, I'm not in the, in the Big Ten, I'm not taking a 7-point win. So that's where I'm at. We'll see what, if they can get it done. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. 40 minutes of decent content. Like I said, continue to reach out on episodes that hit home with you. And continue to make suggestions on guests and stuff. I reached out to the guy. We're planning that 200 episode right now. And I reached out to the guy I mentioned to you, Drake, today.
Sweet.
Hoping for a response back at some point. So that'll be an exciting one. Regardless of who we get, we will get somebody elite for that. That's it. 188, the Wash Up Walk-Ons, the Role Players Podcast. You heard it here first. Talk to you next week. Peace.